Always Woolen to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, John Curcio, Jazz Amaja, Chris Fuchs, John Lloyd, Atif Sheik, Justin Maitner, Gavante Chillis, Molly Ficarella, Thomas Navin, Mike Franz, Joe Mickendo, Trayvon Brady, Dylan D'Antonio, Steve Rogers, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Minard, Nick Ryan Magdoza, T. Hamill, Becca Zeifel, Nicholas Casso, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Fansler, Jared Gibbs, and Erica Flynn. Thank you so much to all these patrons. And you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.
I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Woolen to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and we're back for Mailbag 4, Part 2. Very convoluted title.
At least we got a Part 2.
Yes, we're not Justice League over here. We did get a Part 2. We got the same crew here with me. I have
Lance Laster and Nick Ryan Magdoza.
That's good, Nick. You said and Nick Ryan Mendoza this time. You just said Nick Ryan Mendoza last time. That's why I said it the way I did. I don't know if you guys picked up on the introductions on last week, but he's like, Lance Laster, Nick Ryan Mendoza. It's like, okay, you're supposed to say and. But anyway, you'll go back and listen to it now, and you'll see. You'll see what you did. But I recover. That's how I roll. So anyway, we're back. The mailbag was still about half full from last week, so we're gonna dump the rest out of the mailbag here and get to it. So again, thank you guys all for the mailbag. We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from. So
you gotta finish the slogan.
Yeah.
The new guy's Filipino. Like the new guy is gonna be Filipino. So yeah.
Wait, is there a third guy? Because there was two people already, right?
Yes. So there is a third Blue's Clues, and the main guy is Filipino. So I'm really excited about it.
What happened to the first guy? He went to jail for something, right?
I'm not 100% sure, but he has this really cool stand-up thing where he talks about his past. I highly recommend it. I don't remember his name, but just look up the old Steve from Blue's Clues, and there's just this like 20-minute video of him talking about it.
So, first of all, we're talking about Blue's Clues, all right? I don't know why we even know what this is. It's way too young for us to be watching. When we were in college and this came out, I don't even know. But it's like, it's one of those things.
We had family members, younger ages, just letting you know.
It was in the cultural zeitgeist at the time, yeah. Blue's Clues. And so whenever they get a mail, they say, we just got a letter, wonder who it's from. And it's a jingle, and we never came up with a jingle here, so we just steal other jingles. So the guy's name was Steve, right? And as I understand it, they recast him with another, they act like that was the same guy, or what?
No, it was Steve's brother. He talks about it. He talks about the episode of when he leaves.
I thought it was like he went to college. Wasn't that what they said that was happening to him? Was that a different show with a different host that had to leave?
Someone's the Dukes of Hazzard where there's like the cousins that come in. Steve's old. Who's the new, so is the new guy what, like his adoptive brother, his cousin?
I don't remember his name, but I just remember him waving goodbye with a backpack through the door.
What is this? Blue's Clues is apparently Mystery Science Theater 3000 now. These rotating hosts. At least they didn't try to recast them with the same. Anyway. So that's where all that jingle nonsense comes from with these letters for you guys who don't know. So getting into it here, we're jumping back into the mailbag, mailbag 4, part 2. So of part 2, our first email is from Corey Moore, and he's talking about crypto, that episode. This is an email response to our coverage of that episode. He says, Zach, another tremendous season 4 episode. It was fun to hear about you and Victoria's love for dogs and your latest review from the crypto episode. I'm guessing you'll be receiving a lot of emails and messages about this episode because of the dog theme. Who doesn't love dogs? Here's a little bit of my dog love. Before our kids, my wife and I would rescue Great Danes. My favorite was a brindle Great Dane named Havoc who was blind. He had his eyes removed because of a condition called dog glaucoma, But if we were to adopt him, we would also have to adopt his friend Scout, who was a Great Dane. Oh, she was basically Havoc's seeing eye dog. That's cute. Havoc would navigate the house and the yard with ease by sticking right behind Scout, using her scent and tail to follow her and get around. Havoc would also tap his front paws in front of him to feel for things and swing his tail from side to side to feel for stuff like walls, furniture, etc. It was truly amazing to see these two together in the yard. Teamwork and true friendship, love between the two. Havoc and Scout were not related, but were the best brother-sister combo team-up ever. They enjoyed a long life together in Great Dane years. Havoc lived until 9 years old, and 2 years later, Scout passed away at age 10. A special place in dog heaven for both of them. Oh, that is adorable. That is really adorable. And yeah, Great Danes, you know, the bigger the dog, the shorter the lifespan. So, you know, 10 years is a good, as you said, is a good long life for Great Dane years. Currently, we have one dog on the farm. Her name is Ella, and basically looks just like Shelby from the Crypto episode. There you go. A few years back, Ella was a dog in training to be a seeing eye dog for the blind. She was taken out of the program because her eyes didn't meet the standards, so we jumped at the chance to adopt her. She's basically the perfect dog, well-behaved, trained, doesn't bark. I've only heard her bark a handful of times. Crypto gets a B grade from me. I would have reached an A if the villain's story was written better and if they acted better, absolutely. My favorite scene is when Shelby pulls the tractor into the front yard through the fence. P.S. Great job recording with Victoria. You two have really good podcasting chemistry. So thank you. I agree. And yeah, that Crypto was a cute episode. And as we mentioned, the only Zach on the show is one of these brothers. I keep forgetting it's the younger, the older brother. I'm like, thank you. Great. Of all the characters named Zach on Smallville, I am the my name is the one of the like younger brother animal abuser person. So that is wonderful. So, but I'll say, hey, that's a really great demo. That's a really heartwarming story about your dog, Great Dane rescues and the seeing eye dogs. I've seen that before at other animal rescues. Like these dogs kind of partner up and say animals just care for each other, people. And that's how we, if we were more like dogs, the world would be a better place, is all I have to say. So it's a great email, Corey. Thanks for emailing in, as always.
Yeah, that email reminds me of, like, I'm sure you've seen on Twitter lately, like these videos where it just says dogs, bruh, and then like they're just doing like cool stuff. That's what that reminds me of. So that was a really cool story. All right, cool. Our next thing we have here is an iTunes review, 5-star from Nathan, the M word McKenzie. What's up, Nathan? It says best podcast on iTunes. This is the best podcast on iTunes by far. Also, because it's about my all-time favorite show and superhero. It's the one show that I look forward to every week, and Zach and his guests are very knowledgeable about the episode and series in general. Looking forward to listening to the next 6 seasons with you.
All right, that's our friend Nathan McKenzie, who is now a member of Level 33.1 on the Patreon. So again, I will plug Level 33.1. If you guys want to have... Is that what you guys are laughing at me.
No, it's fair. It's fair. It's just really funny to hear.
This is good business right here. So if anyone wants to be on Level 33.1... go to the Patreon, sign up. You know, Nathan's been on Patreon for, he's been on the Level 33.1 for a couple months now. He's going to have another episode coming up where it's all about him talking about whatever he wants. We talked about Superman animated series and other things those related last time in his first episode. Next time, we're going to talk about Superman animated movies, things of that nature. Those are the kind of things we're talking about. We're not talking about Brainiac Attacks. Lance is looking at me.
I was really excited. I was like, oh, you're actually going to talk about Brainiac Attacks.
Yeah, we're going to save that for a cold day in hell. So we're talking about Brainiac Attacks. That's such an in joke from us, because it's just this infamously horrible Superman animated series movie. Like, as good as the Batman animated series movies are, that's as how bad the Superman animated series movie is. But anyway, probably the DC animated universe movies like Public Enemy, Supergirl, that kind of thing. But Superman versus the Elite, you know, good movies. So anyway, that's kind of the idea. But anyway, thanks to the 5-star review, Nathan, and thanks for being a member of 33.1. So if anybody wants to know how to join, you go to alwaysmallville. No, go to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S.
All right. Well, if you're a 33.1, can you do anything we say? Because what if I said Superman 64? Because I would really love to. Oh, okay.
You give me $33.10 a month, we can talk about anything you want, my friend.
All right. Okay. Superhero. Super.
And as you know, I have a N64 over there with my CRT TV, which you moved. So.
Yeah, I'm wondering, because, man, Superman 64 is one of those games.
One of the worst video games of all time. Some people say E.T., some people say Aquaman. No, I say Superman 64.
All right, next iTunes review. It's another 5 stars from a Smallville lifer, Tough Nuts 0208. Very excited for this podcast. I started it as I just recently discovered it. For the show, I watched the pilot live and never missed an episode. Like Zach, I was the same age as Clark starting out with the show, and Smallville was appointment viewing throughout high school, college, and on. I have all 10 seasons on DVD, so I'm looking forward to rewatch before listening to each podcast episode.
All right, thanks, ToughNuts0208. I appreciate that. So, yes, appointment viewing, absolutely. I mean, like, I used to set the VCR at home, even in college, and last time roommates. I was one of the few people, in 2005 and 6 now, I had a VCR in our dorm rooms recording stuff, and it was good times. I have those tapes somewhere, but I'm not sure where. So, anyway, moving on to our next email from Isaac Miner. You're everything is the everything. You're everything. You're all I want. All right. Anyway, this is great. This is great. I adore this show, even though I discovered it after it was already off the air. I borrowed the DVD sets from my local library and burned through the show. I have since watched this show multiple times. I just come back to it every so often. This, Buffy, and Firefly. I love the music on this show, by the way. And last but not least, Michael Rosenbaum is the best thing about this show, period. Thanks, guys. I'll definitely be putting this show into the regular rotation. Thanks, guys. Isaac in Michigan. So, yes, Lifehouse, right? All the music. You know, I love singing along. The soundtrack of my life, most definitely. Do you have a favorite song? Some favorite songs from Smallville, Nick? When you think Smallville music, other than Save Me, of course, what comes to mind for you?
Everything was actually my favorite thing. You're everything. Yeah, no, definitely everything. There was that other Lifehouse song. Oh my gosh. Of the people. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's You and Me. Yeah, the song You and Me. That was another good one, too.
All right, so moving on to our next email, Lance, why don't you take it away?
All right. I guess we don't want to know what my favorite songs from the episode from the show are. That's okay, though.
Yeah, I'm sorry. All right. You should have handed it the microphone to Lance. Nobody cares what you think, Lance. All right. Lance, what are some of your favorite songs?
Zach's the host, guys.
Climb if I leave her now. That one.
Now, all right. It's too late. That's in Fever, right?
Yes, one of my favorite episodes.
That's when Pete is making the Smallville mix. Better to be DJ than Decoy any day. Oh,
absolutely, yeah, because like he's making those mixes and then he's like also looking like he's DJing when there's a live band playing. Makes no sense, but.
Hey, Pete, could you wait till the song is over to make the CD? Like.
But yeah, if I had to pick a favorite of the songs that are on that show, that's probably my favorite.
You know, I just realized something. They're just goofing around talking about it just now. It actually makes sense for him to work for a band later on in Hero because he was the DJ. Look at that forethought on the side of the writers. Oh, my gosh. So that was Stedman?
Yeah.
Okay. And the name is Too Late, I'm Gone.
Wave Goodbye.
Oh, there you go. One last look. And a wave goodbye. Yeah, for me, definitely, you know, everything, you know, of course, right? The Calling, wherever you will go, way up high. So much, because I used to make mix CDs off of, you know, LimeWire and other things of these songs. And because, I mean, when you're a high school kid, what, are you going to go buy a CD for $20 at Borders Books? No, you're going to go
Borders. Oh man, Borders! I have really fond memories of spending or wasting time there.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. So yeah, I mean, hey, and speaking of the Patreon, we're gonna do a special, you know, favorite songs on Smallville Patreon coming up. So I'm gonna keep plugging that Patreon for y'all. So, but anyway, we will talk about it there. But as far as some other ones, like a really good one that comes, like most of my favorite songs come from the early seasons of Smallville. like you know, 1 through 3 and you know 4 as well. Walk a lonely road, the only road that I have ever known. Like I remember on LiveJournal. Right, you guys all, you had a live journal. Yeah. I literally posted those lyrics once on a live journal. Like, man, this is my life, man. Like, it's so such a high school, like, just so high school. And I'm like 18 at that point. It's pathetic. But, I guess I was 17. But anyway, yeah, that.
You didn't have Twitter yet.
No, there's no Twitter. So the only way to express yourself is through AIM signatures or live journal, AOL Instant Messenger. I never had a MySpace. Pour one out for AIM and Instant Messenger.
Did you have an away message whenever Smallville came on? It's like, guys, I'm watching Smallville. I'll be back.
No, I just basically just kept that. Like, what was that? The app where, not the app, but the function where you could have an away message up and still talk to people. So you could only talk to people you wanted to, and people you didn't want to talk to would leave you alone because you had an away message.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember that. Yeah, I don't remember. Oh, man. I feel old now because I can't remember that. I would think I would.
Yeah. Well, anyway, all that to say, early Smallville music. But probably one of my favorite songs from later Smallville was Avast, Don't Take Your Love Away From Me. It's from Bri. It's like, dun, 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 dun. And it's like, it's great montage. And you see, like, Lois is leaving, Clark is sad. And then we zoom out, and, like, Lex has been watching the videotape of Chloe's wedding. So, anyway, great, great music of the show. And as we talk about pretty much every time. And hopefully I won't get sued and shut down for using the music. And in the shows the way I do. So, anyway, but fear not, guys. I keep the master files of everything. So once I do get sued and shut down, I'll be able to repost the episodes without the music.
Well, if people come to the Patreon and donate money, maybe one day we could actually buy the rights.
That's an excellent point, Nick Ryan Mendoza. Thank you. All right, here we go. Now we can move on to the email. I'm sorry. Is there anything else you would like to say before we move on?
No, I don't think I was left out of anything prior to this, so I think now it's my turn to actually read an email. All right, I'm going to get my money's worth here. So, all right, so this next email is from Braden Arnold, a podcast fan. Hello, Zach. I'm a fan of your podcast, and I thought I would finally email you and let you know how much I appreciate what you're doing. My Smallville addiction started in the fall of 2002. I was 28 then and had seen the show a few times with my roommate was watching it the year before. I initially was intrigued by the Clark Kent concept, but after watching a few minutes of it, I thought it was too much like Dawson's Creek. I don't wanna wait for our lives to be over. I think it's funnier that we don't know the words. Anyway, sorry. Sorry about that, Braden. I made fun of my roommate relentlessly whenever I saw him watching it. Yeah, we've suffered through that as well. then I went through a rough part of my life and was really depressed. We had recently gotten cable internet in our town. I locked myself in my room with a laptop to get away from everyone. I found the wonders of LimeWire. Shout out to LimeWire. And I remember that
I did not read ahead. I did not read ahead. That was completely synchronicity right there.
There it is. I found the wonders of LimeWire, and I remember that I saw the pilot of Smallville and downloaded it for my roommate. He always complained that he missed the first few episodes. No way of watching old episodes back then. Ain't that the truth? I watched the pilot laying in bed with my laptop on my chest and headphones on. I grew up on a 1,200-acre farm in which me, my dad, and my brother only worked on. I was the youngest, but the biggest. Senior year of high school, I was 6'6 and about 220. Ooh, wow, cool. When watching the pilot, I was shocked on how much Jonathan reminded me of my dad. Extremely strict, judgmental, worked from sunup to sundown, etc. Big difference, my dad or any other farmer does not wear L.L. Bean clothing, especially not in mint condition. That's funny. The tractor they have on the show is almost identical to the first tractor my dad ever bought on the farm. In the show, it's a Mace, is a Massey Ferguson 165. Ours was a 180. Being my size, I was able to do a lot of stuff by myself that my brother and dad or even friends couldn't do alone, especially when it came to baling hay. Obviously, in not as much of an exaggerated way, but there were times where I felt like a freak. I was also the quarterback at my high school, and I too, all caps here, played pickup basketball during lunch in my jeans. Wow. Shout to you, Braden, because that is hard to do.
Okay. See, I several people have – it's like when I've talked so much noise about that on the show, and I've had many people from, like, I guess the Midwest or, you know, wherever, they're like, oh, I used to do it all the time, man. But it's it can be comfortable to do that, right? I don't care how cold it is. Put on some sweatpants. But – That people love season four, and everyone used to play basketball in their jeans. That's the two things I've learned from being on this podcast and talking about those things. So anyway, thanks for that.
That's awesome. All right. Anyhow, because of the similarities in how well the Kents represented farmers, especially compared to farmers, how farmers are typically portrayed, I was instantly hooked on the show. I ended up watching all 21 episodes of season one back to back that night and the next morning. I forced myself to go to bed after season one, but woke up and immediately started season two. I think there had been three episodes that aired so far that season, and from then on, I watched every episode as they aired. Each year, starting with season three, I would rewatch that entire series leading up to that year's season premiere. Fast forward to about 2008, I was managing a horse farm where I had no cable or satellite TV, just dial-up internet and a Netflix DVD subscription. Okay, hold on for a second. So Netflix DVD subscriptions, how many people out there actually like got DVDs in the mail with the Netflix subscription? Because I did at the beginning.
Yeah, I did as well. I think I only signed up because my dad was interested in doing it, and he's like, yeah, we can't find this movie anywhere, so I convinced him to get it.
Yeah, were you working on Hollywood Video at the time?
No, not yet.
Traitor. I was going to say, I just saw today, I just saw someone post on Facebook one of these memes where it's like, it's somebody's Facebook status, and it said, I told my students today that I used to order Netflix in the mail, and they sent me DVDs, and they laughed at me.
That sounds about right.
They still do that, right? Don't they? Like, it's still offered? Does anyone know?
I have no idea.
I don't think so either, but I think like if you're searching on Netflix and sometimes it does say not available, but in DVD, I don't remember if it still does that.
It's still an option, but it's getting less and less. And I miss the video stores. As in the last episode, we were talking about video stores and how you used to work there. Like, there's just something about going to a video store and like letting like. Because I like to go, like, it's like, if I don't know what I want to eat, like, I'm just going to drive around and see where the road takes me, right? And go to that restaurant. Same deal. Like, I'm going to just go to the video store and see where, you know, the shelves take me, right? But now it's like, well, here's your list. You know, you can watch this or you can't. And it's that simple. And, like, you can't just drive somewhere and get it. Maybe Redbox will have it. If not, you got to go buy it. I mean, that's actually, although they're getting away from physical media now, that's actually encouraged me to buy more things, because it's like, okay, I can spend $10, and if I watched this more than once in my life, it would have paid for it. Or I can go, like, what, go rent it digitally? I guess people do that. I just don't like, I don't know, I like discs, I like physical media, I like the value-added material, that kind of stuff. So anyway, tangent there about discs and video stores and DVDs from Netflix, but you guys know what I'm talking about.
Indeed. All right, so he goes on to say, bought the first few seasons on DVD, and for the recent seasons, I would rent the DVDs. For the last three seasons, 8, 9, and 10, I watched the entire series before and after each season began and ended. Then in 2011, once it was over, I would watch it in its entirety 2 to 3 times a year, with the exception of one episode. I found one episode to be so bad that I've only watched it twice, once when it first aired. Then years later, after watching the entire series about 10 times, I rewatched that episode to make sure it was really that bad and pointless. And of course, I was right. It was ageless. I used to think that it was a stoner joke, since it was season 4, episode 20. I love it. Like, the writers were high when making the episode.
That is a brilliant analysis there, Brayden. That is genius.
That's amazing. 420. I'm going to watch this wretched episode for the third time in my life, just for solidarity. If you're going to do it, I will too. In 2018, I finally stopped watching Smallville every year. I watched all the episodes up to where you were at on the podcast last year, and I now just watch each episode right before I listen to each new podcast. I'm going to try to not jump ahead or watch old episodes until you are completely done. Then I will celebrate by watching the entire series once again.
I think, as we established last time, that's in 2023. Is that what we said?
I think that's a safe bet, yeah. All right. Currently, I'm a truck driver. I obtained my CDL in December of 2015. Oh, good for you. I had a CDL for a little bit. In January of 2016, I started doing over-the-road trucking, where I was out weeks at a time. I have all the Smallville Blu-rays ripped to my computer, and I can stream them from anywhere using Plex. Anyway, anyhow... while listening to all of my sports podcasts while driving 10-plus hours a day. I do the same thing. I wonder if there was a Smallville podcast. And sure enough, there was a lunatic out there that not only was doing a Smallville podcast, but he was going to make a podcast for each individual episode and promised not to stop until he made it to the end. I caught your podcast right after you uploaded your second episode and haven't missed one since. Of the 20-plus podcasts that I regularly listen to, yours gets me the most excited when I see that there's a new one. I thoroughly enjoy your podcast, and I can't believe how much you have improved over the years.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. What do you mean improved?
Zach, we need to talk.
Well, yes. I mean, if you're referring to Nick not being on the podcast as much, I.
No, I have to say, since I haven't really been on the podcast, I have seen this grow from something different from what I started with, and like, oh my gosh, your Patreon is amazing.
You know, and you can go to that Patreon by going to patreon.com/alwaysmarvel1s. Be sure to sign for 33.1. But I know I'm kind of interjecting right here. This is a long email, Brayden, so I'm giving Lance kind of a break here. But hey, man, thanks a lot, man. Like, this is, we still got somewhere to go in this email, but I appreciate your appreciation of the show. That's awesome. So, and yes, I have promised to finish every single episode, and I will not stop until my mission is complete. But if Tom Welling doesn't show up as Superman in Crisis on Infinite Earths, I might just stop the podcast right now.
All right, so got a little bit more here to go here. So he continues, I think the main reason I like it so much, talking about your podcast, is that you look at the show differently and notice things that I don't or haven't. Even the fact that you know the episode titles is different than me. I never noticed any of the episode titles except for Absolute Justice until I started listening to your podcast. There is one thing I would like to add that I don't remember ever hearing you talk about. During one of the 30-plus times I've watched the series, I noticed that there was a real big contrast in the lighting of the show, so I researched it a little. In doing so, I found where Millar and Goff, when they originally thought of the show idea, they wanted to do it as if hundreds of years from now, an elder Superman was telling this story of his childhood, as if he was telling his biography to an author, which is why whenever there are parts of the show that are good memories for Superman, like the farm, his parents, his friends, etc., they use bright lighting that almost looks yellow and sunny. Whenever there are parts that would be his bad memories, like Lionel or the mansion, or when Clark is on Red K, they use low lighting to where it almost looks like it's shot in the shadows. If I remember correctly, the production team, or whatever you call it, production team is correct, won awards for how the show was filmed. I really hope I'm not misremembering all this, because I think of it often when watching the show or listening to your podcast. For me, it explains away a lot of the cheesiness and continuity issues of the show. Because it's an elderly man remembering it how he chooses to, Chloe calling the spring prom because elderly Superman telling the story couldn't care less, or Lana just showing up to the senior prom out of nowhere because Superman only remembers the part he danced with her. Maybe it never happened, just elderly Superman remembering how he wants. That's funny. I have a lot of respect for what you... for you to be able to do this podcast for every episode and keep it interesting. When I'm listening, I'm constantly wanting to jump in and add something to the conversation. But I know if I had a mic in front of me, I probably wouldn't be able to think of anything to say.
Yeah, you know, I had never heard that, Brayden, about old Superman recounting a story to his grandkids. That's an interesting theory. I'll have to look that up. If you can find where that link is or where you might have found that online, we sure shoot me an email. I'd be very interested to read that that story. That you're right, that would account for a lot of continuity errors, because Clark would be an unreliable narrator. He just doesn't care about things like spring formal or prom. That's pretty funny. But no, I hadn't, that's very interesting. I had not heard that. So yeah, like I said, if you can find that again, shoot me a message. I'd love to read that.
Cool. Let's see. Oh, almost done here. I don't know what your typical listening age demographic is, but I am a month from turning 43 years old. Oh, happy birthday. Like I said, I grew up on a small farm in southern Ohio. Huge fan of the Buckeyes and the Bengals. Okay. Andy Dalton, Houston product, is your quarterback.
Is he southern?
I think he is. If not, Brayden, you can let us know, or we'll find out soon enough. I am currently a truck driver and a fairly big computer nerd. I live a very isolated life, no friends, rarely see family, so I have a tendency to get my familiarity through other means, i.e. rewatching old TV shows. I also watch Seinfeld, Frasier, King of Queens, Everybody Loves Raymond, Sopranos, and Breaking Bad about once every 2 to 3 years. Cool, those are good choices. And the best thing about your podcast, your fan Corey. I no longer feel like such a freak for how much I've watched the show. I think he has me beat. Brayton Arnold. P.S. I'm writing this on my phone in the back of the truck. Tried to proofread, but I'm sure there's still it's still not the best. You did a great job, Brayton. Thanks for the email.
Yeah, thank you, Brayton. That was amazing.
Yeah, so Corey, you're not alone out there, man. I'm glad you got a fan. That's great. Yeah, that's Corey is the stats guy. Corey is our number one fan. He was our true first patron. And definitely keeps the tally board accurate. So, yes, so good to know that you're a fan of Corey as well, Brayden. So, yeah, Brayden, thanks for that long email, man. Thanks for sharing all that about yourself, man. And that's the really personal stuff about you, you know, your job and what you do with Smallville and whatnot. So thanks for sending that in. That means a lot for you to share that much with us. And that's really cool how you kind of relate to Clark. And see, we all relate to Clark in our own ways. Like, I have my own. It's like, I was on the newspaper and I have glasses, the same type of look, all that stuff, you know. And then you got your job as the football guy and all that. So there are many shades of Clark Kent that a lot of people can relate to. See, even when he played football. So there you go. So if for no other reason, I'm happy he played football in season 4 just for you to relate to that. So thanks again, Brayden, for your email, and don't be a stranger.
All right. Speaking about Corey, he has another email here called Actor Impressions. Hey, Zach, your Smallville actor impersonations are great. I was recently listening to your Duplicity episode, and your Dr. Hamilton, Pete, and Luther's were great. Don't stop. Keep them coming. Up, up, and away. Can we hear that again, Zach?
I think the Luther's one are good. Dr. Hamilton, because we make fun of that a lot. But I think your Pete might be a little too much. And I'll just say that.
I got your back, Lex. Don't. It was Hamilton here. Give me the damn keys.
That one is the best one. But the others, they're walking that thin line of blasphemy in the jungle.
So I'm going to find a kryptonite key.
They will replace us all.
Makes me want to throw up. Oh, boy. Thank you, Corey. I do enjoy... Like, son. I enjoy doing impressions. It's funny. Like, I can... some are better than others, clearly. But I can imitate, like, if there was a line somebody said, but if you, like, tell me, hey, talk, like, in a Scottish accent, I would just have to think of lines that Scotty said from Star Trek or something in order to, just can't do it, Captain, I don't have the powder. But I can't, like, talk, like, if I just tried to have a conversation with you right now, Nick, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't, like, talk. And it's like people ask somebody, hey, oh, you're a singer? Sing something for me. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, yeah. Give me a second, you know? Like, oh, you do impressions, you know? So I'm not like a Robin Williams over here. But anyway, but thank you. I do have fun impersonating people and characters from Smallville, obviously. So, Clark, what the hell are you doing here? moving on, another email from Corey Moore. He says, forever in commencement in season 4. This is me wrapping up season 4 and his comments on it. Yo, Zach, first off, let me give you a slow golf clap for a job well done. Thank you. On your completion of season 4, today I realized two things. Number one, you like season 4 more than you remembered. And number two, I changed my opinion on season 4. It's not my favorite anymore. Well, my work here is done, my friends. No. It's still a really fun season packed with great episodes. But overall, its season plot brings it down compared to seasons 1 to 3. But what season is my favorite now? He's asking himself that question. So we'll find that out together, Corey, over the next few seasons. He goes on to say, I was very surprised that you liked the Forever episode. I was expecting you to shred it, but you didn't, which was a nice surprise because I really enjoyed it. I graded this at a B. Favorite scene was the ending, the group talking about their future. Haven't I seen you around the way? That is a song I had no memory, because I'd only seen that episode, you know, like once before, because I was only saw on DVD. That's one that it's funny, that song, the song at the end of Reaper, which I forget the name of right now. Also, the song at the end of Devoted. These are songs I can't remember what they are right now. But these are songs that after I watched them, you know, I download them and use them on the show, and I like really catchy tunes. I'm like, they just didn't latch on me back then, but they do now.
I'm still disappointed that Devoted did not use "Hopelessly Devoted" from Grease. It's the perfect song.
Well, that's, you know, that would have been more appropriate in the Relic episode, 1961.
Ah, but yeah, they could both work, but Devoted for sure.
Corey goes on to say, in the commencement episode, it had a lot going on, very busy. Favorite scene is when Chloe saves Clark by pulling him out of Lex's secret closet filled with some kryptonite. I graded this at a B+. It gets the plus rating for the Lana kill emoji smiley face. Yeah. Finally, Matt Trix will be happy to know she killed someone in season 3, episode 2, and season 4, episode 22. And we'll see if she kills anyone else before season 7. Maybe she kills no one else. I don't know. I seem to remember her just killing people in season 7 because she had a vendetta there against Lex. Corey goes on to say, I can't wait to hear your season 5 reviews. I'll be sending you more support soon for my favorite podcast. Always hold on to Smallville. My man, Corey. Again, our first patron, our number one fan, Mr. Corey Moore. So thanks a lot, Corey.
All right, so we have our next email from Ryan Smith. Hello. He said, well, it's titled Hello. He says, hey, I'm sure you're a busy guy, but I just wanted to say I love your podcast. I found it when you posted it on Reddit, and I listened to you since around season 1. I want to support you and will once things settle down. I got my fiance into Smallville, and we've watched up to season 3 together, but she has left me. And since then, it's been hard to get back into the show since I watched it with her. However, I listen to your podcast as I can still get some enjoyment out of it now. I just wanted to say thank you. I can still get my Smallville fix even if I can't watch the show. Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for sharing that. Man, I hope you don't mind us sharing it here on the podcast. I know that's pretty personal. Yeah, man, I know it is, man. You know, you associate certain things with certain times in your life and certain people, like TV shows, right? A great example. It's something you can share with somebody. It can be a great thing. But then when that relationship goes away, you don't want to watch that show anymore. Like, first of all, I used to watch a lot of Law & Order. SVU. You know, Lance and I used to watch it. I had an ex-girlfriend who used to watch it with, you know, like nonstop. It was great. It was on, like, cable and then NBC and UPN. We used to watch it all the time. After we broke up, I was like, I don't want to watch Law & Order anymore. So I totally get it.
That's right. I stopped watching as well. That's why I switched over to Chicago.
So now Lance watches every single show in the Chicago universe with Tommy Merlin as a doctor in Chicago PD.
That's right, but he's gone now. He's left the show.
He's left the show?
Yeah, he left Chicago Med.
So he's coming back to Arrow Season 8. He was actually in the trailer. I don't know if you guys saw that. But yeah, no, in all seriousness, Ryan, hopefully listen to the show, the podcast here, and then watching Smallville can help you through some tough times there. This is what this stuff is for. This stuff is for an escape, you know? So hopefully listening to this can help you rekindle that love for Smallville, and I appreciate you sharing that deep emotional stuff, because we've all been there. We've all had these kinds of things. So don't let that ruin the show for you. If it's something you really loved, you know, you loved it. And hopefully you keep on loving it. And thanks for listening, and don't be a stranger. Moving on to our next email from Casey Cochran. They say, huge Superman / Smallville fan here. My name is Casey Cochran. For 5 years, I was... No, I'm stranded. No. My name is Casey Cochran, and I'm the fastest man alive. No, my name is Casey Cochran. Lucky for me, I have a name that would fit well in a comic book. See, there it is. I bet that's why he said it that way. I don't know. As most names tend to have similar sounding initials. I live in Newport, Richey, Florida, which is about 45 minutes or so from Tampa. What were you going to say, Lance?
I was just about to say, like, he's like, you know, my name is Casey Cochran. I could totally do the same thing with my name, too.
Yeah, Lance Laster, my arch nemesis. He goes on to say, I live in Newport, Richey, Florida, which is about 45 minutes or so from Tampa. I noticed you commented on how stupid of an idea it is for the Rays to be a two-city team. I did this on Twitter recently. He says, I completely agree with you on that, because Major League Baseball, they want to split. They want to, like, the Tampa Bay Rays, it used to be called the Devil Rays, by the way. But now I thought they were like Rays, like they lost the Devil. But now they're like Rays, like the Sun Rays, which is like, yeah, they're not the animal anymore, yeah.
That's dumb.
Yeah, no, look up their logo right now. Look it up. I'm going to keep reading. Lance, look up their logo. It's the Sun Rays now, I believe. And so to put some context to that, Major League Baseball is talking about the Tampa Bay Rays playing half their season in Tampa Bay and the second half of their season in Montreal, where the Expos used to be, and they moved and they went to be the Washington Nationals. There's only one team in Canada right now, the Toronto Blue Jays. So that's just nonsense. So have you guys looked it up?
Yeah. Okay, so I found the logo. So So I guess that's what that little star is. It's the sun rays. Yeah. But the curve in the R is still kind of like the tail of a manta ray.
Yeah, it for me it does. I would probably expect more from the sun to be more of a ray, because this looks like more of a sparkle.
Well, okay. First of all, that's a ridiculous comment. Second of all, I like again. Why they should have called them the manta rays to begin with. I understand why the devil rays, go devils. Like that has a connotation. The devil rays. Devil rays. So anyway, there you go. Go Astros. That's all I have to say about that. I grew up in Clearwater, a half hour south of where I live now. I've been a fan of Superman, of the Superman character ever since around the time Lois and Clark started when I was 8 years old. My parents watched that show and I watched it with them. I got more into it as the series went on. After having watched the show, I thought it would be a really cool idea if there would be a show about Superman growing up as a teenager and developing his powers as such. I remember Clark's parents and Lois and Clark mentioning something about how he developed his powers, mainly flying, from one of the episodes where he got amnesia count plus one, and had to learn to fly again. That's actually, I believe that episode was called All Shook Up, and it was a remake, All Shook Up, ooh, that's referencing Perry White on that show's Elvis obsession. That was a remake of a George Reeves, The Adventures of Superman show, episode called Panic in the Sky. And the most ridiculous thing about that is, like, he's Superman, he gets hit by a meteorite, crashes the Earth, somebody finds him in an alley, and it's like, oh, you look dumb. Here's some glass. Put these glasses on so you look smart now. And that's how they take him back to the Daily Planet, and they know he's Clark Kent. So kind of stretching the believability there. But anyway, he goes on to say, they mentioned something about it being one of the last powers that he got. Although I think in that show, he got the ability to fly around 18 as opposed to 28, like Tom Welling or whatever. To be fair, Clark was 24, 25 in the series finale when he finally flew. But anyway, I discovered Smallville, I believe, on the second episode, much like myself. A couple of people have said that now. A lot of people discovered it on Metamorphosis. You discover Smallville two ways. You discover it through Metamorphosis, or you discover it in season 4. Those are the two ways people discovered, I found. And he goes on to say, but that was before I really got into watching any TV shows religiously. So maybe I saw the second episode, one or two in the middle of the season, including the handshake one, which is Hug, and the season finale. At least that's what I remember vividly. Smallville started for me in my junior year of high school. After that first season finale, I was hooked. So in season 2, I didn't miss an episode, or so I thought. As it turns out, I had actually missed the episode Visage. I had no idea that episode ever existed until I got the season 2 DVD. After that, I pretty much never missed an episode again, except for maybe one or two. I guess at that point, you just assume Whitney went missing in action and Skinwalker, and you're like, well, I guess he's dead, which is exactly what happened, actually. You just skip that. It's like, oh, I guess what happened to Whitney. Way to write him off the show. He goes on to say, but I always bought the season on DVD as soon as it came out. Recently, I started rewatching a show on Hulu because it had been a few years since I watched it. I'm currently near the end of season 2, and I can truly say it is my all-time favorite show. Once I even made red and green colored ice for some of my friends for a season premiere episode. That's pretty good. Not too long ago, I just typed in Smallville in my podcast app and found your podcast. Currently, I'm early in season 2 on your podcast, but I hope to be caught up before you start season 5, and I think I have a pretty good chance of catching up because my job involves work where I can listen to your podcast all day. Well, you would definitely catch up to me then. Thanks a lot, Casey, for that email. That's interesting. That, yeah, there are certain episodes like that you never knew existed. Like, I knew episodes existed, but I didn't have any idea. Like, basically, you know, season 4. And I think, I don't know if there are any other seasons. There might have been one or two, like, we were in college, maybe like 5 and 6, maybe, like, and the height of college, we were, like, super busy. Maybe I didn't set the VCR right or something like that. I remember, yeah, there was some nice, especially it was Void. And I set the VCR, and I forgot to do it. And I walked over to the Whitney's at the UC, and I was like, damn it, I forgot something. So it was, like, 15 minutes late. So I never saw, like, the beginning of the episode. But, yeah. Did you ever go to the Whitney's at the UC, Nick?
Oh, yes. Actually, I think that was the first time I actually had Whitney's. Like, no joke.
Well, last night, that was like the only place that was open, and it was within the walking distance of Moody Towers. And now it's UC is totally unrecognizable, right? It's like the Enterprise between the TV show and the movies. It's like, what is this? love engineers. They love to change things. So anyway, so thanks for the email there, Casey.
All right, next up we have another iTunes review. 5-star. It says, super podcast. I recently found this podcast as I have been going over the first two seasons of Smallville recently. At this time, I've only listened to season one and episode of season two of this podcast, and I absolutely love it. I especially love how they got the guy who runs the Krypton site website. Shout to you, Craig. Look forward to catching up in time for your season five run.
Yeah, no, we love having Craig Byrne on. He's the webmaster for Krypton site and K-Site TV. That was a big, like, I was like, oh my God, we're going to get Craig Byrne on for the season two premiere. And Craig and I have since become good friends, and we correspond quite regularly. So yeah, it's always a pleasure to have him on. Because yeah, when I was watching Smallville back in the day, like, that was the site. And he still covers all the Arrowverse shows, so I recommend everybody go check out Arrow site and Flash site and all the on Twitter, all his Twitter accounts, and he's got a lot of great articles and scoops and news and all that stuff about all the shows, you know, pictures, summaries when they come out, episode titles, that kind of thing, interviews. So definitely, Krypton site still exists, as Craig and I often joke about when he's on the podcast, so definitely go check that out.
All right, we have another email from Casey Cogran again. Idea I have about something in Skinwalker. Hi, Zach. Maybe this has already been suggested, but since I just listened to the Skinwalker podcast, I have a theory about the how green rocks that Kryptonians brought to Earth 500 years ago. Now, those won't be poison to Kryptonians, but they could have been mined back on Krypton, and it's possible that the yellow sun could have had an effect on those green rocks, which may explain why they gave humans power before Krypton exploded. That's my theory, anyway. Let me know if that's been revisited on your podcast, if you can.
You know, I don't think we've discussed that per se. You know, the Krypton existing before Krypton explodes is questionable. I know, especially in season 7 when Zor-El shows up, he's like, "Oh yes, I used to study the meteor rocks on your planet." I'm like, that is just BS, man. Like, because kryptonite, like, it's the core of the planet, and the radiation of why it exploded is what made all these different kryptonite colors, and like if they pass through nebulas and stuff, they didn't just like. You just can't bring a piece of Krypton and put it on Earth, and it's not going to turn green and all that kind of stuff. So these are the kind of loopholes, and we have to go through as fans to kind of like justify everything. So I commend you for your creative thinking there, Casey. And hey, good an explanation as any, because the show certainly didn't give us one, did it? So anyway, moving on. Corey Moore sent us an email. He says, "More farm sign," and he says, "Hey Zach, we finally engraved the entrance sign. For a while, it was." Blank. Hey-o! Because that's an episode title. my wife picked a font that is similar to the Kents. She grabbed the wood router and did the engraving herself. Then we stained the letters. Saddle brown color. Feel free to post the pictures on your Facebook page. Up, up, and away, Corey Moore. So, yeah, so Corey Moore, he has a farm, as you guys might be aware. And he has a sign that says the Moore Farm. So if I ever go visit you, Corey, definitely going to take my picture under that farm. And act like it's mine, I guess. I guess that's actually... but, no, that's awesome, man. I love living out Smallville up there with your family. So thanks for that, Corey. And yes, definitely we'll be posting those pictures so everybody can see.
All right, our next email is from B. Brendan Hugo. Cool name. Hey, guys, love your podcast so much. You guys are doing such a fantastic job. I'm currently on Hug going in order. Right now, I'm rewatching the series from beginning in order. Currently just finished season 3's The Hereafter. Say, as I'm watching this time around, in the back of my mind, every time Lionel has any interaction, I'm always wondering if the writers had already pegged Lionel as the protector of the Traveler, hence erasing Lex's memory with the electric shock therapy in season 3's Asylum. Then again, there are times when Lionel's actions or words are contradictory to his role as the protector of the Traveler. What are your thoughts? By the way, for future episodes, would it be possible for you to add brief commentary about Lionel and his possible ties to Veritas? Keep up the great work. Yeah, no, I don't think the writers had any idea what they were doing with the whole Traveler thing. I think they just kind of pulled it out of their backsides.
No, and even in the episode Traveler itself, he like kidnaps Clark and like that was so logical. Like puts him in a cage and it's like, oh, well, I did it to protect him. It's like, yeah, I don't know, man. Lionel, a fascinating character because you really don't know where his allegiances are, but you can also chalk that up to just bad writing. But John Glover is such an interesting actor that he kind of carries it. It is interesting to like go back and try to make Veritas work. And I mentioned that sometimes to our point in earlier emails about like how I spoil everything in the podcast. I'm trying to fit those square pegs in these round holes that they made for us. And, yeah, it is interesting. Like in episodes like, forever where Lionel shoots Jason. It's like, oh, well, what was he doing there? Protecting Clark's secret? You don't know, you know. When he burns that picture from Lex's contact in season 5, that kind of stuff. But season 7, complete retcon. If they spent a little more time on it, they could have made it work. But again, I point to the Veritas stained glass window, which everybody loves bringing up because it's just such a blatant, like, oh, it was there all along, when it was clearly not. Like, it was clearly not there. And it's just insult our intelligence as viewers to make us think it was there. And it wasn't even there. And someone pointed this out recently. It wasn't even there at the beginning of season 7. Yeah. That is how poorly they thought this through. So poorly thought this through.
All right. And we have another email from Mari Sachi. Just sending a message to congratulate you on the podcast is helping a lot. I really miss the good old days of Smallville, and it's been great taking the trip down memory lane. Keep it up. Cheers. Yeah, thank you. Like I said earlier or last episode, where I can't believe how far this has come. Thank you for that kind message.
You didn't think I had it in me, did you, Nick?
Well.
There you have it there. And then finally, our last message of the day. From Maroon Hans. He says, hey, Zach, thoughts on Brandon Routh playing Superman again in the crossover? P.S., this is my Halloween costume for my second grade school. So, yes, Maroon sent us a picture of himself as Superman, a little Superman costume when he was younger, so we'll definitely be posting that on the Mailbag photo album. So thank you, Maroon. Maroon, one of our biggest, longest fans. So he does ask, and this is great, final question. I did not plan it this way. This is how we read these chronologically. And he asks about thoughts on Brandon Routh playing Superman again in the crossover. So that's a great segue, and we won't spend forever on this, but a lot of news out of this recording, San Diego Comic-Con was very recently, and a lot of talk about the Crisis on Infinite Earths, right? That's the big deal. They teased it last year, last fall during the crossover. Now, I'll just be straight with everybody. Like, it has been impossible for me to keep up with these shows. So, you know, I watch the crossovers and, like, the Lex Luthor and Superman episodes of things, and that's pretty much all I'm doing right now. I'm going to try to get caught up as much as I can before Crisis, especially on Arrow, because Arrow is ending. Arrow has a 10-episode, 8th season, and then it's done. So, which by the way, who was it? Deadline, was it? Like, Arrow, the longest-running comic book show of all time. Comes in, yeah. Get your facts straight, all right? So, Smallville, 10 seasons, bro. And Arrow's doing, like, 7.5. Okay, so let's be real, my friend. So, but anyway, I do want to catch up on Arrow, the one that started it all. It's going to be weird not to have it on the air anymore. But lots of news coming out, Crisis on Infinite Earths. Tyler Hoechlin is back as Superman. Elizabeth Tulloch is back as Lois Lane. Lots of other characters. Burt Ward is back as Robin. Why don't you speak about this for a second, Lance?
That is crazy. Like, first of all, great get. And shout to him for, like, wanting to do it. But, like, this
great,
is...
Great get? Great. What is he doing?
He could have said no. That's why it's a great get, because he easily could have said no. So that kind of shows how, like, special this can be, right, if done correctly. But, you know... You know, it's great that Routh is going to be Superman again. He was not the problem with Superman Returns. Everything else about it was. I love Brandon Routh. But honestly, what we're all, like, you know, everybody listening to this, what we all really want to know and what we're, like, waiting to hear and see is if Tom Welling will grace us with his presence in this crossover.
I think, oh man, I don't know. There's been so much ask for the longest time, and as well as, like, with him going to Lucifer for a little bit, I wonder if he has it in him now, because, like, a lot of his fame is coming back, and a lot of people are asking it, and I'm sure you asked him when you met him, and maybe he'll secretly show up, or maybe he'll be name dropped or something like that, or a picture.
Well, yeah, just quick run out. Yeah, Burt Ward, I think he's going to be Kingdom Come Batman. Like, seriously, like, he's going to be, like, they're going to CGI him into, like, a big Batman suit, much like they CGI Mark Ruffalo into an Iron Man suit. That's what I see. Like, they go to some Earth or whatever, right? And you see this just armored Batman fighting off, like, parademons or something. And, like, oh, my God, who is that? That's amazing. And then, like, the CGI comes off, and it's freaking 80-year-old Burt Ward. I guess, what, is he, like, 6? Actually, he's, like, what, 70, maybe? Yeah, because Adam West passed away a couple years ago, and he was 85. So, and that's such a shame that Adam West passed away before he could do this, because he would have been a part of this. You know what? I have a suspicion they might use some stock footage or audio of Adam West, because, I mean, he's the... Because you got to have a Batman in this, right? Like, that's a thing. Like, you can't have this without a Batman, right?
I agree with you. And so I think they're going to find a way to get Adam in there in some capacity.
So they'll be the Batman component. I mean, Batwoman is he's going to be in the Batwoman episode. So Crisis on Infinite Earths is going to be 5 episodes. But kind of the whole season is also Crisis because the Monitor is in a lot of episodes, so I don't really know.
Well, the whole Arrow season is basically Crisis. Everything else is kind of its own thing. Well, I'm like, you know, I don't know about you, Nick, but I know Zach like hasn't really caught up. It's a struggle to keep up with these things, and I managed to do it. And so this might be the last time that I actually do, because like I want to be there for this specific crossover because this one means so much. But like, yeah, it's tough keeping up with all of them.
Yeah, for me it was very tough, and I actually ended up dropping. I was just gonna follow Legends of Tomorrow, and then I was like, you know what, I'm going to binge watch it when it's done. And it finally came around, and I never got been able to catch up. But now with all these other characters and other superheroes coming in, it makes me really it's actually doing what it's supposed to be doing, is making me reinterested in what's going on. And then when I heard that there's finally gonna be the final season of the Arrow, and we're gonna get Kingdom Come, and then with Brandon, I was like, okay, hold on, what else can they pull out of their bag to get us interested?
Yeah, so I mean, we know that they're gonna have two Superman. You better have more than two Superman, all right? So I made a tweet about this, and it picked up some traction. So I said, these are things I still need to know, right? After all this, like, I need to know if Tom Welling, Michael Rosenbaum, and the gang are coming back from Smallville. This is a deal breaker, right? I need to know if John Wesley Shipp's Flash 90 is really dead, because he just kind of whisked his finger and he was gone. I was like, are you all that set up? Like, they teased Elseworlds with him, and I was like, oh, he's gonna be like the crucial character, and he shows up, and that's a good couple scenes there. It's like, Dad? Jay? You know, it's Barry Allen. And they have the music, and it was amazing, and it was just like Batman v Superman. I was like, oh, I'm too soon. He's coming through. But then he just gets whisked away. I'm like, what? He's gotta come back in as that Flash. Also, are we to assume that Earth 90 is, well, I guess it was destroyed. It better get restored, because that's the thing with you bring back characters from years ago, and then you're like, oh, they didn't live happily ever after. Their world got annihilated. It's like, that's terrible. I don't want to think about that. I want to see Barry and Tina and Julio living on Earth 90 when this thing is over, right? But anyway, I need to know if he's alive. And then also I need to know if Oliver Queen from Smallville is dead, because we saw his costume on Earth 90, like, is that another Oliver Queen? Like, what's going on there? And then finally, I mean, there's 1,000 things I need to know. I'm thinking of a couple of tweets I made. Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher, they need to come back as Superman Lois Lane. They've both been on Supergirl. I mean, they're in their Rolodex, right? Just give them a call, make it happen. Like, if anything, he should be the Kingdom Come Superman, because he's older than Brandon Routh. We need to see that. So Brandon Routh, right? I saw he was wearing the Kingdom Come Superman shirt, and apparently he's wearing that costume, but he is not Kingdom Come Superman, right? People, they like, oh, but he's Kingdom Come Superman. Crisis on Infinite Earths has nothing to do with Kingdom Come, okay? Kingdom Come came out in like 96. Crisis was 86, okay? So he will be an older Superman wearing that costume, because you understand that, but he's not going to be Kingdom Come Superman. That is a misnomer. That is a misinterpretation. So he will be basically, he will serve the function, as my guess here, is Earth 2 Superman in the Crisis, where he's the older Superman. He's the Christopher Reeve Superman, right? Because he is the Christopher Reeve Superman.
Yeah. Or what if they're just making the, or what if he actually is Kingdom Come, and the Kingdom Come is just one of these Earths?
Well, no, that's he needs to be the Superman Returns, the Christopher Reeve Superman.
No, I get you, but like, what if that's like what people are like, you never know. You never know. And the other thing is, like, who knows what else, like, they actually are keeping secret, if they are keeping anything secret. You know what I mean? Like, because, like, they better be keeping the Smallville secret. But, like, but you never know. Like, there could be a whole lot of other things that we don't know are coming that will be there. And so maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised.
I just want this to be fulfilling across the board. And it will be unfulfilling if there's no Smallville people there. Like, I need to see these characters as the Smallville characters. Like, I need to see Clark Kent. I need to see Tom Welling's Superman costume, guys. You fooled me once. Fool me, you'll get fooled again, to quote George W. Bush. All right? So, like, I swear to God, if Tom Welling does not show up in a Superman costume, I might stop this podcast right now. I'm turning this thing around. I mean, seriously, how disappointing is that? This is his third chance to do it. He didn't do it in Smallville. He could have been Superman and Supergirl. That didn't happen, all right? Like, that he really could have. Like, he turned that down. So, and now here's a chance to do it. Because that's the thing. If he was Superman and Supergirl, it would have been like, oh, that's cool, but he's not the one we knew. That he can be Earth 21. I mean, that's what I've seen it called now, because I was like, don't call it Earth 2001. I know there's infinite Earths, but that's just way too many. So Earth 21 works, because the 2001, you know, cut out the zeros. So, yeah, I'm very excited to see Brandon Routh as Superman again. I think that's great. I think... And I love this, because online I was saying this for years. I'm like, you can't do that. He's Ray Palmer. He's the Atom. I'm like, it's infinite Earths. All right? Just deal with it. Like, you may explain, you know.
Yeah, remember, because, you know, John Diggle is also apparently John Stewart.
John Stewart Diggle. Because Ernie Hudson is his stepdad, and his last name is Stewart. And we will see John Diggle Green Lantern in this. So, my man Diggle, all right? Linda Carter will probably be back in some capacity. Okay, first of all, there's a lot of rumors out there. Don't believe anything you see unless it comes from Krypton site or if it comes from, you know, CW themselves and things like that. So I would not put stock in anything that you don't see officially released from the CW, because there's a lot of Tom Welling's come back, Linda Carter's come back. No one's coming back unless you hear from them, okay? But again, Linda Carter has been on Supergirl as the president. She's got to come back as one. If they're bringing back Burt Ward as Robin or Batman or whatever, you have to bring... I don't care about the movie division. Right? I don't hear that anymore. Because, again, need I remind you, there's a Flash television show. Right? So don't tell me, you know, you can't do these things. So anyway, I think we're going to see... I definitely think we're going to see Linda Carter, even though it hasn't been announced yet. I'm holding hope for Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher. I mean, that was a show that ran for 4 years on ABC. It's pretty mainstream. Everybody knows. I mean, they're still both in the public eye. And so help me, I better see Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum in this thing. Justin Hartley, he's busy with This Is Us, I understand, and they kind of have an out, because look, he died on Earth 90. But who'd have thought, what year is it, 2019? Who'd have thought 13 years after Superman Returns we'd see Brandon Routh as Superman again?
That is actually what's really got me, because I was thinking about it, and I was like, First off, I was actually one of the people who was like, oh, he can't be Superman again because you already wrote him. Well, but then you start thinking about it, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, it's Infinite Crisis. There's going to be so many different versions that, okay, that works in that universe. So seeing that, actually, I think I'm more excited for him, the actor himself, for Brandon, because he's able to reprise his role that he was known for, I'm doing a little shaky, known for type of thing, but I'm glad that he's able to reprise that role somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, if I say that, and people are like, you're crazy, man, and they will never do this, but it's like, all right, with all this Henry Cavill drama, like, is he Superman, is he not? Just make a Superman movie with Brandon Routh. I mean, he looks the same as he did 13 years ago. Is it good for him, man?
Well, not only that, but, like, he wants to do it. Like, you know, like, God bless him, because he's all about this stuff. So,
There's a picture of him, like, at a Halloween party, and I can relate to this because that's my standard costume. Him, like, at a Halloween party, like, in 2003 or 4, and he's Clark Kent Superman. He's the same costume I wear all the time. So it's great. And I hated his costume from Superman Returns. Like, I want him to be the Superman Returns Superman, but I hated his costume. Like, I remember it came out on my birthday, that picture, and I was like, what is this ridiculous brown, maroon, fruit roll-up cape costume? So I'm glad he's getting a real one. And maybe he's not wearing his, because Tom Welling is. And I'll leave it there. Mic drop. We're not dropping the mic. It's an expensive microphone. So there you go, guys. I think we're all very excited. We will obviously do episodes of that. We're discussing how that coverage is going to be. It might be nightly. It might be hourly. Yeah. It might be... We might stream a live watch. No, we're not doing that. But it'll...
I know how to set something up like
that. We won't be doing that. But if you want to come over and watch, we can do that.
So. Yeah, okay, I'm down to come over.
All right, cool. So anyway, if you guys enjoyed this camaraderie here, I think it was a lot of fun for three of us to be on this. And hey, we had a lot of great messages. We split into two parts. I mean, that's how many messages we had. And again, I really appreciate, guys, I cannot express how cool it is to just get emails from people who are listening, because we are just some nerds who've been friends from high school talking about this nonsense. And now we've expanded our lunch table at high school. And all y'all are there with us.
Yeah, especially, I never thought of that. Expanded a lunch table. Everyone's here. And seeing all this support coming from the beginning is just, like, honestly, when we switched over from that last podcast to this one, it's like, okay, we'll start something new. And I'm glad that we have, like, as Braden said, that it's just showing that so many other people love the show and that there's a loyal fan base here and there's going to be a lot of great fans. So please keep them coming.
How How can people support us, Nick, if they would choose to do so?
Oh, well, so there is something called Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S, and there are different levels. And Zach, why don't you tell us every single thing?
Well, you guys can go to the website and find all the information, but there are several levels of Patreon. There's $1, $3, $5, $8, and level 33.1. For $33.10, you can talk to me about anything you want, and it'll go on the main feed, okay? The main feed of the podcast. I know we were talking about that. Remember that last month? I was like, what are you? Like,
yeah, because if you do 30, I really want to see Superman 64, because I've seen actually gameplay of someone who actually went through and finished it, but I don't know. Have you guys actually finished it?
If you join 33.1, I will play Superman 64 with you. All right, we will send out. That is the ultimate listener experience. You get to play Superman 64 with me.
As long as you don't give me back my money when you don't want to keep playing.
All right, guys. Well, that's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much. All the shout-outs to you guys and the fellow guests and hosts that come on. You know, I know, Lance, you were mentioning my name. You know, I know Victoria. Lots of other people are big fans of you guys. And so it's great to people respond to our fandom and our fandom with each other and all the podcasts and bring us together talking about the stuff that we love. So thank you so much. Keep bringing on the messages and whatnot. Obviously, if the mailbag gets too full, we'll split into two like we did this time. And so we will probably do another one either in between the hiatus of season 5 or between season 5 and 6. Guys, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the podcast with me, Lance and Nick. If people want to find you out there on the internet, where can they find you?
You can find me at Sir Lance Laster on my social media platforms.
And you can find me on Twitter at Nick Ryan.
You're not on Instagram anymore as Nick JPEG or whatever?
Yeah, I'm also on Instagram as well, but there's a link there from there. But it's at nickryan.jpg.
You can find me at zachmoore.bmp. No, not true. Inaccurate.
I actually completely forgot about BMP, how it was a standard back then.
All right. So as for me, you can find me personally on Twitter at moronzach. That's MOREONZACH. I'm also host of another podcast, Standard Orbit, on the Trek FM podcast network. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. We talk about all things old and new, Captain Kirk and the Enterprise over there. And as for the podcast itself, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Slow on the Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with one S. So thanks again for all your messages. We really do enjoy them and appreciate them. And until next time, always hold on to Smallville.